Well, as we continue with our worship service tonight, I want to just say thank you to all of our special music singers tonight. I can sing just like Jared. It's just usually when I'm sleeping and in my dreams. But thank you all so much for your time and the practice you put into just praising the Lord. And Matt, writing a song this year for Christmas, just so wonderful, reminding us of the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, as we look to the time now of looking to God's Word, yes, I remind the parents every year. I know there's children there. I have five there, and my wife will have my head if we're not done in 10 minutes. So this will be a 10-minute message. But I want to just focus on the theme for this year, and that is joy. I've been reading a book lately called Living Your Life Backward by a man named David Gibson, and he walks through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I recommend it to everybody, no matter what stage of life you're in. And he excerpts the book of Ecclesiastes, and he shows throughout the book the perspective that we are to have on life and the things we do right and the things we do wrong from a biblical perspective. And as I listened through the book over the last couple of weeks, you know, it was really good. I was learning a lot of things. But you know that you're not doing something right when they say something and then you begin to tear up or you begin to feel like an anvil just hit your heart. And I remember last week as I was reading the book, he said, to live without joy is to sin against God. And that's when I knew that we needed to talk about joy tonight. Because joyless Christians exist, and they should not. Of all the people to be joyful, it should be believers in Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling with joy, hey, I'm in that boat with you at times, as I'm sure all of us would be. Joy is not something easy to have in a world that is literally cursed, that has death and pain and suffering and uncertainty. So tonight, I want to just lay a foundation. And if you have your bulletins on the back of them, we have 15 verses of scripture that will lay out just a foundation for us this evening as we look at joy. And I want us to look at very quickly the call for joy and the source of joy. The call for joy and the source of joy. And to begin our discussion on joy, I want to read for you the first text that's listed there, and that is Deuteronomy chapter 26. Verses, and we'll begin in verse 5 for the sake of time. But listen to what the Lord says through Moses to the children of Israel. He says, and you shall make response before Yahweh your God. And you shall say, a wandering Aramean was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to Yahweh, the God of our fathers, and Yahweh heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. This is recounting the Exodus. And God brought us into a place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Yahweh, have given me. And you shall set it down before Yahweh your God and worship before Yahweh your God. Listen to verse 11. And you shall rejoice in all the good that Yahweh your God has done to you and to your house. God tells the children of Israel, I want you to rejoice. I want you to have joy in what? Just the Lord? No, even the material things that God has blessed us with. God says, as you go into the promised land and you enjoy the fruit of the land, I created the world to be a blessing to you. He says, find joy in what I have given to you. The fruit of the land, the provision that I have given to you, that is from my hand, and you should enjoy it. You should enjoy it. Do we do this in our lives, church? Do we find joy in God's provision? Do you see a meal as something to just eat to energize you so you can get to work and get on with the rest of your day? Or do you actually consider the food that you're about to eat and say, this is a gift from God? This is literally something that my taste buds can enjoy and remind me of the goodness that God has done to me. Tomorrow is my birthday, and every year we have a prime rib for my birthday. I love prime rib. But let me ask you this question. If you love it as much as I do you just see it as something to eat to celebrate a birthday, or do you actually say, God created this to taste good? He created my tongue with 5 different flavor profiles so that I can enjoy the things he has created and rejoice in his goodness and say, thank you, God, for creating me to experience something so delightful. Do we find joy in God's provision, church? Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 gives us a second call for joy, and that is this. The psalmist says, I will give thanks to Yahweh with my whole heart. I will rejoice. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High God. The word glad there in the Hebrew means to make merry or to rejoice. And notice the psalmist says, I will rejoice in you. The psalmist has reason to rejoice. Despite his circumstances or what's going on in his life, he always has a reason to rejoice because he knows God. And he doesn't just know that God exists. He knows who God is. He knows what God has done. And that is a call to rejoice, to know that you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Beloved, how often do you find joy when you remind yourself of who Yahweh is and the fact that you know him? The psalmist says, I will rejoice in you, O Lord. Psalm 31, verses 7 through 8, a third reason for joy. The psalmist says, I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love. Beloved, do you find joy in God's love? Do you find joy in knowing that the eternal God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you? Do you rejoice in knowing that the eternal God looks at you with a heart of compassion, with a heart of love, that he is out for your good? Who are we that God would think of us in such a way? And yet the psalmist says, I can rejoice because I know of God's steadfast love. Literally, his faithful love. It doesn't end. Psalm 122:1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David reminds us that we should find joy in worship. That's what you do at the house of the Lord. You go there to worship God. And David says, I rejoice that I get to, in today's terms, go to church. I rejoice that I get to go to the place where God is worshiped collectively by the body of believers. Beloved, are you happy to be here tonight? Do you find joy in gathering to worship? Do you find joy on Sunday morning as you're driving to church to say, I am going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? David says, you should. You should rejoice and say, I was glad when they said unto me, it's Sunday and it's time to go to church. Proverbs 5:18 says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Hopefully I'm not stepping on toes here. God created you, married couples, to find joy in your spouse. Your spouse was created by God to be a companion and a partner that brings fulfillment in your life. Do you find joy in the wife or husband of your youth? Proverbs 23:24-25 says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. This proverb says that joy comes from a parent when their child is walking with the Lord. For those of you who have children that are still walking with the Lord, who are in church, who are faithful, maybe even some of them serving in ministry, is that something that you rejoice over and thank God for? That is a joy that your child is walking with the Lord. That is a work of God that your child knows Him and is staying the course that you raised them up in. A seventh reason comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. And here we find in the book of Ecclesiastes that joy isn't just something that comes through certain circumstances. But listen to what the writer says in verses 8 and 9. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. If a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. Solomon doesn't leave any room for us to not have joy in the years of our life. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Solomon says, walk in joy. Be happy with the life God has given you. God has not given us all the same portion or the same lot in life. He's put some of us here, some of us there, some of us up here, some of us down there. And Solomon says, rejoice. Rejoice. Know that life is a gift from God. It may not be the life you want in your flesh, but it is the life God has given you. And without God, you wouldn't have any life. Be thankful that you are here, that you are living, that you are breathing, that you have been created in the image of God. That is something to rejoice over. But when we allow the things of this world to become what we desire most, that's when we get robbed of our joy, because that becomes more worthy to us than knowing that we have life as a gift from God. Essentially, when we're joyless because of what we don't have in life, what we are saying is, God, I don't like what you've done. Can I get option B? This isn't good enough for me. Can we try again, Lord? The psalmist says, find joy in all of your life. Isaiah 25, 9. This is Yahweh. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Beloved, hopefully I don't have to emphasize this point. Are you joyful that you have been saved by God? Are you joyful that you are now heaven-bound and not hell-bound? Are you joyful in knowing that God has looked upon you with grace and mercy and transformed your heart and mind and brought you into His kingdom, and as we saw on Sunday, made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ, so that Christ Himself, the God-man, calls us brothers and sisters? That is something to have joy in. Joel 2:21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh has done great works. Joel reminds us to find joy in God's work. Beloved, that is not just in the wonderful, blessed, high mountaintop times. That is also in the times of suffering. That is also in the times of hardship. Because when you're going through hard times, is God still working? Yes, He is. So even when you are in a place where you don't like it, if you look to the Lord, you are reminded, you are still working, Lord, in this. And I can rejoice because it will turn out for your good, for my good and your glory. Zephaniah 3:14 says, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart. This joy is something that goes to the very depths of our soul. This isn't just some superficial smile on the face. It is literally something that comes deep from within as the Spirit of God impresses that upon our heart. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10 says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst. God says, find joy in knowing that I'm with you, that I will dwell in your midst. For Israel, this is a future hope, but for us who are in Christ, where's the temple? We are the temple, which means God's presence is always with us. And the writer says that should cause us to have what? Joy. Do you notice how so many of these, if not all of them, require joy of us, and the circumstances of life do nothing to change that? You notice that. Doesn't matter where I am, living in a box or living in a penthouse. If God is with me in the box and he's with me in the penthouse, I have joy that God is with me. You see, it's all about perspective. Philippians 2:2, let's go to the New Testament. Paul says, complete my joy by being of the same mind. We should find joy in unity. We should find joy in unity. That should be something that we desire and pursue, church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Watch this. For you are our glory and joy. Beloved, we should find joy in one another. Paul calls members of the church his joy. You are my joy. You bring me joy. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. I am happy to see you. We are all heaven bound. We are all serving the same King. Hebrews 10:34 says, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Those Christians in the book of Hebrews had joy even in their suffering because they were suffering for their faith. They were suffering for Jesus Christ. They found joy in knowing that they were being mistreated because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Hated by the world because of the love they had for God. That is something to rejoice in. And then finally, not that this by any means is all that Scripture has to say, but only the amount of time we have for tonight, James 1 and 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Why are we to have joy in trials of various kinds? Because we know that God is working through those trials. That is James's point, is God is refining you and shaping you and molding you for his glory. And if God is doing that, even when you are under the compresses of trials and hardships, you can still have joy because you know that those sufferings are not worthless. They are literally coals that God put into the fire to refine you so you will come out more pure. And as hard as it is, as hot as it is, James says, you can have joy in that because the work of God supersedes the circumstances of your life. You see, beloved, in all of these 15 points of joy, whether it's going to church, whether it's coming from our heart, whether it's looking to God, whether it's just enjoying life or the provision or the food that we eat, we are people that should be bathed in joy. And the moment we lose our focus on God and his kingdom and his purpose and his plans and the truth about how he works in us and through us, that is when your joy will begin to recede. A joyless Christian is a Christian who has lost sight, who has lost perspective, who has lost his way, who has put blinders on his eyes to the true calling of God, the true purposes of God, and the true nature of God. We become joyless in our suffering because we forget that God is in control of the suffering. We become depressed when trials come because we cease to trust God, believing that he will actually bring us through it and has the power to do so. We become even burdened and sorrowed and fall away and confused when we sin against the Lord for the umpteenth time because we forget the blood of the Lamb has covered every single sin. See, beloved, we must remind ourselves daily of who God is and what he's done for us, why he has put us here, and why he has given us the things in this life. The moment we take our eyes off of that, our joy will begin to fade, because you cannot find lasting joy in anything other than God. Everything else will pass away. So what is the source of joy? Because I know what you're saying. Wow, look, joy everywhere. But hello, have you seen the life we're in? Have you seen the world? Have you picked up a newspaper? Have you looked at the news, Pastor Matt? Kind of hard to have joy in this economy. Kind of hard to have joy with family members that you have no idea how they treat us or what they've said to us. It's kind of hard to have joy when you rewind my life 20, 30, 40 years and you see what happened. How can I have joy in a world that is full of brokenness? I'm glad you asked. The source of joy, beloved. Romans 5:13, Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy." You are filled with joy through who? God. And it is the Father that is being referenced here. I know that because in verse 8, Christ is shown to fulfill the promises of God, which is referring primarily to the Father. The Father is the one, Paul says, that fills you with joy. You want joy? You go to the Father. There's a problem. I can't go to the Father. I'm a sinner. So look at point 2. Luke 2:10 through 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." Here's how I tie in Christmas, this little portion. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great," say it, church, "joy that will be for all people. For unto you," what's the first word of verse 11? For. Here's why this is joyful news. "Because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The joy, the greatness, the happiness of the news is directly linked to the person, Jesus Christ, who is called a Savior. It's because through the Savior, you can obtain that joy. Amen. It is not only of the Father who desires for you to have joy and fills you with joy. It is also of the Son who came to establish joy in a world that has fallen and would never know joy outside of Jesus Christ. There's one who came 2,000 years ago to crush the serpent's head, to have victory over the devil, to have victory over death, to have victory over sin. And that victory of Jesus Christ allows all who trust in him to have victory themselves, which leads to joy. Because through Christ, there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. It never goes out. But that's not all. We don't just have the Father. We don't just have the Son. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of Jesus? The fruit of the Father? No, the fruit of who? The Spirit. The first one we all know, love. What's the second one?
Joy.
What is the Spirit of God actively doing in your life each and every day? He is trying to bring about the fruit of joy. You have the triune God, church, at work within you to produce joy. And that can only come about if you know Jesus Christ. You know why? Look at the last point. Joy comes not only through the Godhead. John 15, verses 10 through 11. Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Watch this. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." If you want something to blow your mind, think of that statement. Jesus didn't say, "These things I have spoken to you, that you may have joy." Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you may have my joy." You can have and experience the joy of Jesus Christ. The joy that Jesus had as a man on this earth, that joy he had, he says, you can have it. You can have Jesus' joy. How do we have that? Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments. You see, beloved, it's not just enough to believe in God and know he's there and just kind of live the way we want and just pray that he'll give us joy. God will give us joy, but listen, he gives it as we walk the path that he has laid out. There is a path that leads to joy. God lays it out, and then he empowers you to walk it. The problem comes when we try to walk it without God, or we look to God and don't walk it. Jesus says, you want real lasting joy? Know that it comes from God, and it comes only through the path that he has established. You have a joyless marriage? Open the Word of God. Go to Song of Solomon and ask yourself, what am I not doing? Because that's what's leading to no joy. No matter what you're facing in life, no matter what trial, hardship, struggle, it doesn't matter. God sees it, he knows it, he's with you, and he will empower you and give you joy through it. But only if you look to him and walk according to his word. There is no other equation for joy, beloved. It comes from God. And it comes from his word. So as we consider Jesus Christ this year and as we celebrate his birth tomorrow, know that all of this is possible. All of this is possible because the Son of Man came down to become a child, to go to the cross so that he could bridge the gap between the fallen sinner and the eternal God who fills us with joy. Will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you this morning, this evening, Lord, once again, for our time of worship. How magnificent it is, Lord, for us to gather tonight to worship you, to come together and to remind ourselves of the goodness and the greatness and the majesty of God. Thank you, Lord, that we are reminded tonight that you have called us to joy in every area of our life, in our worship, in everything, Lord. We are to be joyful people. And Lord, as I said at the beginning, I will be the first to say that is truly a battle at times. It's hard. But Lord, we thank you that we have been reminded tonight that you are with us every step of the way. That it is the Father who fills us with joy. It is the Son who established even the possibility for us to have joy. And it is the Spirit who actively works within us to bear the fruit of joy. That should give us joy to know that the Godhead is at work within us to produce joy. So, Father, may we be people of joy. May we not be bitter, grumpy. May we not be those who are discontent and unsatisfied. That is sin. That is sin. You created us, Lord, to be people who are joyful. If for no other reason above all, then it's because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So, Father, while we do acknowledge the weight of the suffering and the trials and the hardships of this world, remind us, Lord, that you rise above it all and that we can look to you. You are the God who loves us and will carry us through. So may we look to you, Father. May we walk in your way according to your word. And may we be people full of joy. We love you, our King, and it's in your blessed name we pray. Amen.